If you didn't like the dress, you should have just told me.
Hey, I was trying to be helpful.
Asking if it came with a sign saying wide load is not being helpful. I will never, ever take you shopping with me again.
Fine. I'll shop at the mall by myself. Then I'll be able to pee when I'm good and ready.
Dorothy, you found a dress for the banquet. Oh, do you just adore it? Does it stir emotions deep within you? Could you just throw yourself down and die for it?
It's a dress, Blanche. It's not the Alamo.
Well, it must be pretty special. It took you 5 weeks to find it.
Well, that's because I'm hard to fit.
I can see that, Dorothy. I'm not blind.
Well, I didn't mean anything by that, honey. Actually, I tend to fall between sizes myself. Usually, I'm smack dab between a 4...
and a 16.
Hi, girls.
Hi, Rose.
Oh, Dorothy, is that your dress for the museum fundraiser?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see it.
Oh, all right. But I warn you, it is very simple. Huh? What do you think?
I think you're my best friend, so let's change the subject.
I think it's beautiful. It's exactly what I would have picked.
That settles it. It goes back tomorrow.
What are you wearing, Blanche?
Oh, I'll probably just grab some dazzling little number from my closet that these people have not been privileged to see. Maybe the red sequin strapless backless low-cut mini.
Why don't you just tie a scarf around your waist? Oh, Ma, good news.
They changed the flavor of Haley's M.O.
I'm taking the dress back.
So?
So I'm sorry I lost my temper before. And, Ma, I really would like you to go with me and help me pick out a dress. What do you say?
What do I say? I'm your mother, Dorothy. I was there for you when you needed a communion dress. I was there for you when you needed a prom dress. I was there for you when you needed a wedding dress. And frankly, I'm sick of it. Buy your own damn dress. I'll be over at Mildred's.
Rose Nyland?
No, and if I start acting like her, pull the plug.
Rose Nyland. 43 years and I'd know you anywhere.
Are you... You're not... Could you be...
Buddy Rourke.
Buddy Rourke!
Yeah.
Oh, Blanche, Dorothy, it's Buddy Rourke. Oh, come on in. Buddy, these are my two best friends, Dorothy
How
and
do you
Blanche.
Do?
Do? Buddy Rourke, after all these years.
You don't know who he is, do you, Rose?
Haven't a clue.
Please, don't be embarrassed. We never met before.
Well, then exactly how would you have known her anywhere?
From Charlie. He never stopped talking about her.
You knew Charlie?
Yeah.
Oh, please sit down.
I served with your husband in the war. 82nd Airborne, Fort Bragg to Nottingham to Normandy and back, thank the Lord. Charlie Nyland was one of the finest men I ever met. I often wonder why he put up with a wise guy like me from the back streets of Boston.
I'm sorry I didn't know who you were, but Charlie didn't like to talk about the war.
I always hoped Charlie and I would hook up again one day, but, well, believe it or not, I never had the occasion to visit St. Olaf.
Really? You mean not even to change planes for St. Gustav?
Oh, you can't get to St. Gustav by plane, Dorothy. You have to go by toboggan. Of course, traveling in the summer is really rough on the old hiney.
But it's a great way to rack up lots of frequent tobogganer mileage.
This is just amazing. How did you ever find Rose after all this time?
I got Rose's address from Charlie's Army pension records, and I realized a lifetime had passed, and I never laid eyes on my old chum's favorite girl. So I made myself a promise. If I was ever in the area, I'd pay my respects.
Buddy, would you like to stay for dinner? I'm making sweet and sour smelt kebabs.
Smelt kebabs? Oh, darn. I had them for lunch.
Me too.
They served them on the plane. And I'm awfully tired after the trip, but I was hoping that you might let me invite you to lunch tomorrow. That is, if you're free.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And if you have time, I'd like to show you around Miami.
I'll pick you up around noon.
Great.
Ladies, it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Likewise.
Rose, you're every bit as lovely as the picture Charlie used to carry. See you tomorrow.
A sweet man.
Absolutely charming. And he obviously idolized your Charlie.
And more importantly, he wasn't wearing a wedding ring.
Oh, Blanche, don't be silly.
Well, I only checked it out when I noticed him giving me the eye.
Blanche, have you ever met a man you didn't think was giving you the eye?
Once in 1976. But it was only 2 days later that Mr. President Jimmy Carter announced to the American people that he had secretly lusted in his heart.
You can't be serious. Charlie read you every one of my letters?
Well, selected passages. He selfishly kept the more intimate sections to himself. Hey, one, please.
I used to write him every Sunday right after church. That way I'd have all the latest gossip around town.
Oh, he read me the gossip. In fact, I remember there was some kind of a scandal with a neighbor, I think. The name was, thank you.
Phineas Wiggler? I can't believe you remember that.
Well, in all fairness, Phineas Wiggler is a hard name to forget.
Oh, I know what you mean. The Wigglers were a very revered family.
Yeah, until the scandal.
Oh, it was just terrible. The Navy came to town to take bids for a big submarine contract. They said they wanted 3 submarines built for around $1 million. Well, Phineas said he could make 100 for half the money. So, of course, he got the contract. When the Navy came back to check on the progress 6 months later, they discovered there'd been a terrible misunderstanding. Phineas had made 100 hoagie heroes for $500,000. He claimed the reason they were so expensive was he had used all imported meats and cheeses.
You know, that story still tickles me just as much as the first time Charlie told it to me.
It just amazes me how much you know about my life with Charlie.
Rose, I don't think you realize how very much you meant to him. Or how very much you meant to me.
To you? I don't understand.
I didn't have a wife or a sweetheart back home. And when Charlie would read me your letters, I felt like, well, that someone cared. And that meant a lot to me. I spent a long time searching for someone exactly like Rose Nyland. I never found her. And now I know why. There's no one exactly like Rose Nyland.
Oh, buddy.
Charlie carried those letters in his jacket through the war. I carry them in my heart for a lifetime. And I think I fell in love with the woman who wrote them.
Dress or not?
Be right there.
Get a move on. If you hurry up, I can give you an honest, unbiased opinion. And you'll still have time to return it before the mall closes tonight.
Well, Ma, what do you think?
Pussycat, you look sensational.
You really think so, Ma?
I really think so. I've never seen you look so beautiful. Oh,
thanks, Ma.
Who's the designer? He deserves a Nobel Prize for miracles.
Why do I even ask you?
I'm your mother. I'm going to tell you whether you ask me or not. By the way, the sleeves are too long.
No, I'll ask Rose to shorten them.
If you can find her. Ever since that guy hit town, she spends most of her time out polishing his shillelagh.
Ma, Rose and Buddy are just friends.
Sure. And Michael Jackson was born with that cleft in his chin.
I don't believe it.
It can't be.
Hey, don't panic. Pick up one for Rose. You can go with the Pointer Sister.
I thought you were going to wear something out of your closet.
Well, I was, but as it turned out, nothing fit me.
Well, what did you expect, Blanche? Last weekend, you ate so many pudding pops, you could have built the Eiffel Tower from the sticks.
That is not what I meant. I meant everything just hangs on me.
Of course it does. That's why you have to cover it with a dress.
All right, Dorothy, what are we going to do about this?
We are not going to do anything. Blanche, it has taken me a whole month to find this dress. You are simply going to have to take yours back.
Oh, Dorothy, be reasonable. This dress looks so much better on me than it does on you.
Hi, girls.
Oh, I love your dress. I am not taking mine back.
I am not taking mine back.
Girls, I really need to talk
to you. This is crazy. Since when do you care how you look?
I think it started when I came down from the bell tower and had my hump fixed.
Buddy's going back to Boston on Saturday.
This dress looks sensational on me. People expect to see me in a sensational dress. Well,
what do they expect to see me in? A yarmulke and a hefty bag?
He wants me to go with him, to live with him. And I think I might.
Why not?
You hardly know the man.
I feel like I've known him all my life. I talked to him about Charlie. I talked to him about St. Olaf. I talked to him about my family. I talked to him about my animal friends. I talked to him about life on the farm.
If that man didn't get a medal in the war, he sure as hell deserves one now.
Wait a minute. Did she just say live with him?
That's right, Sophia.
Not marry him, live with him.
Yes.
Two world wars, a Polish pope, and now this. I may live to see CBS come up with a morning show yet.
I just don't know what to do.
Well, frankly, Rose, I think you're just rushing things. But I don't know. Maybe it's better to live with Buddy than to just charge full steam ahead and marry him.
No, it isn't. This is morally wrong. It is ethically offensive. It's an out-and-out sin.
Why do I feel like I just fell through the looking glass?
Blanche, how can you, of all people, say something like that?
Well, Rose Nyland, I have never lived with a man without the benefit of marriage.
Excuse me, Blanche. I think what you mean is you have never lived with a man without benefit of room service.
Being with a man is not the same thing as living with a man.
You're right, Blanche. Living with a man eliminates the need for an overnight bag and a stop at the drugstore.
And the need for marriage, family, and tradition. Not to mention wedding showers, catered affairs, the bridal registry at Burdine's.
No, I know what you mean, Blanche, but there's another side to this. If I had lived with Stan before we got married, I could have spared us both some very painful times and a bitter divorce.
And possibly given birth to reasonably attractive children.
It does seem like the right thing to do. I'm comfortable with Buddy. I mean, everything seems so natural. It's easier being with him because he already knows so much about me.
Yeah, but Rose, do you love him?
I think so.
What about money?
Oh, everyone loves money.
Oh, I mean, have you talked about financial arrangements? Now, if you were getting married, you could have a prenuptial agreement. But just living together, all you can do is steal money out of his wallet while he's in the shower.
We've agreed to keep our finances separate. He insisted on it.
Well, that's good, at least.
He even suggested that since we'll need a bigger place to live, I should give him my half of the money now, before I even get there, so that it'll be our place, not his, right from the start.
Sounds like you've already made up your mind.
I guess I have. Oh, but I feel awful about leaving you guys. I feel like I'm breaking up the Three Musketeers.
Oh, honey, you go with your heart. We just want you to be happy.
I am happy. And I want you to be happy. That's why I want you to settle this dress business.
Oh, there is nothing to settle. Now, I am wearing this dress, Dorothy. It deserves to be displayed on a devastatingly beautiful body.
Who are you going to send it to? Kim Basinger?
And what is that supposed to mean?
Why don't you think about it while you're inhaling your next cheesecake?
How dare she imply that I overeat? Oh, makes me so mad. Oh, Don, we're out of Chips Ahoy. I'm gonna get out of this girdle and go down to the market for some cookies and bean dip. Oh, hell, I'll just take the damn thing off in the car.
Oh, Blanche, I'm glad you're here. I have something to tell you.
What is that you're holding?
Oh, I bought a new gown.
Oh, no! I wanted to be the nice one. I bought a new dress, too.
Mr. Marty's on Market Street, where every dress is a guaranteed one-of-a-kind original.
If we have the same dress, Mr. Marty's going to be left with one-of-a-kind. Goodness, everything's all right.
No, except for what I have to tell you.
Oh, it wasn't about the dress?
It was about Rose and Buddy. That business of giving him money has been bothering me, so I decided to do some checking on Buddy Rourke. And after a couple of phone calls, I found out he had just retired after 45 years in the records department of the Army Pension Office.
I don't get it.
That's how he knew about Charlie. They never served together. He just read his file.
But he knew all those things about Rose.
He knew that she came from St. Olaf. I mean, everything else, Rose probably volunteered. You know her. A stranger says hello, and suddenly he's hearing the life story of Uncle Finger Binger and his 30-pound rutabaga.
Then this is all just a scam to bilk Rose out of some money?
Absolutely, and it is not the first time he's tried it. Where is Rose? I mean, we have to tell her.
Oh, Dorothy, she said she had to go to the bank and then go to meet Buddy. What are we going to do?
There's nothing we can do. We just have to wait until she gets home.
Oh, good Lord.
Hey, girls, how do you like this spiffy little number I picked up?
Sophia, that's the same dress I got.
Well, now you know how it should look. I wrote the kids about you.
Really?
Oh, not about us. About you. About how you knew their father. They found it unbelievable.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean that you and I finally met.
Oh, I thought you meant they wouldn't believe there were any dinosaurs still around from World War II.
Speaking of dinosaurs, did Charlie ever tell you the story about how they found the dinosaur bones right outside St. Olaf?
Rose.
You see, Carl Nickerson was teaching his German shepherd to bury a herringbone. Carl was a vegetarian.
You haven't even mentioned about moving to Boston. Are you avoiding the subject?
I can't go with you, Buddy.
But Rose.
It wouldn't be fair. Now, I've given it a lot of thought, and I realize I'm not being honest with you, or with myself.
Rose, how can this be? We've been so happy.
Oh, I am happy. Happy with the memories of Charlie that you rekindled. Sometimes I put those memories too far away because I'm afraid they'll be painful.
hardest on holidays, or when I'm lying in bed alone at night. But remembering Charlie with you is wonderful. I'm glad I met you, buddy. But I don't love you. I'm sorry. Listen, I went to the bank and I got something for you.
It's a gold watch.
It's Charlie's gold watch. I want you to have it.
But this is a very expensive piece of jewelry.
Please, buddy.
I think I've taken enough from you and Charlie already.
What?
Listen, I hate emotional scenes. I'm the only Irishman in Boston who avoids wakes and political rallies. So, I'm just going to run, you understand?
But, buddy...
No, I'll write. I will. No, I won't. I always say that. I never do. You take care of yourself, Rose. You're a special lady.
I need to talk to someone.
Sure, come in. I can hear Pavarotti live from the Met anytime. What's the problem?
Ma, I'm upset about Rose.
Me too. I thought I was finally going to get a room with some sunlight.
I'm upset because we haven't told her the truth about Buddy.
I thought everything turned out all right. She gave him the brush off. She didn't give him any money. He didn't even take the watch.
I know, but we're letting her live with a lie.
So a little lie gave her a lot of pleasure. What harm does that do?
Oh, I don't know.
Then what's the problem?
It doesn't seem right.
Dorothy, let me tell you a story. Picture it. Sicily, 1922. A young military officer stationed far from home. He wanders the street seeking a friendly face and a glass of Chianti. Finally, he happens into a dusty little cafe where he finds both. The man laughs for the first time in months and finds inspiration in a beautiful peasant girl, wise beyond her years. When the cafe is closed, she takes him home with her. 3 glorious days they make love and drink wine. He returns to his command, prepared to lead his people through whatever battles need to be fought. Dorothy, that young peasant girl was me. And that young man was Winston Churchill.
Ma, you made that whole thing up. Now, what is your point?
That I made it up. It was a little lie that gave me a lot of pleasure. If Rose is happy and there was no harm done, let her have that.
You know something, Ma? You may be right.
Good night, Charlie. I love you.